Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody, coast to coast. This Week in America, prosperity, wealth, and abundance. It's God's idea, dispelling the satanic lie of poverty, debt, and lack in the body of Christ by Earl E. Thomas Jr. is a Holy Spirit inspiration on one of the most controversial topics in the body of Christ today. A word-based study on what God has to say on the topic, his purposes and plans for creating wealth, and the deceptions from the enemy to try to keep it out of the hands of the body of Christ. Earl E. Thomas Jr. is the pastor and founder of Behind the Veil Worship Center in Cincinnati, Ohio. Along with his wife, Vicki, they are assigned by God to reestablish a worship atmosphere in the body of Christ where signs, wonders, and miracles can be restored as they were in biblical times. Pastor Earl is a retired City of Cincinnati firefighter with 29 years and 11 months of service. Pastor Earl E. Thomas Jr., author of Prosperity, Wealth, and Abundance, It's God's Idea, Dispelling the Satanic Lie of Poverty, Debt, and Lack in the Body of Christ, is our guest on This Week in America. Pastor, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Been looking forward to this conversation. So much to talk about during the course of the program today. We'll give you information on where the book's available, which is basically everywhere. We'll give you that as we go through this. What inspired you? Where did this idea come from to like, okay, I've got to sit down, do a little research, and write a book on this?
Well, the idea wasn't mine. Just like the book says, it's God's idea. I was, in the summer of 2016, I was driving home from Kroger. I got some food for dinner. I was cooking dinner that day. And I was listening to a radio talk show, and they were talking about the show, The Preachers of L.A., that was out at that time. And many of people were calling in and voicing their opinion, whether men of God or believers, Christians, should have or should not have that type of faith. That type of prosperity. Many of them were negative, just a few of them were positive. I forgot something at the store, and I had to go back, and I was listening to, it was a different talk show on the same radio station, and again, many people were giving their opinions and their ideas. And I nearly got home, and the Spirit of the Lord said, there's many people calling in, voicing their opinion about what men and women of God should have. He said, but there's something strange with that. Nobody asked me my opinion. Then he said, surely if they're talking about the Bible, the Word, and men and women who represent me, somebody should ask me my opinion.
That makes sense.
Very profound. So when I got home, I began to study what God said. What is my opinion? I mean, we all have an opinion, but if you're a Christian, you're supposed to follow the opinion of God.
Yes.
What God says. But as I begin to compile this information, just for my personal use, just because God says somebody should ask me my opinion. So I want to know, okay, God, what is your opinion? I begin to compile several notebooks about what God's opinion was. And it was like a atom bomb went off in my spirit because I've been born and raised in the church. Right now I'm 64 years old. And many of the sermons that I've heard about prosperity, wealth, and abundance were totally opposite of what the Bible says that prosperity, wealth, and abundance was. So I compiled all this evidence, and after several months, the Spirit of the Lord says, well, I want you to put that in the book, and I want the title of it to be Prosperity, Wealth, and Abundance. It's God's idea. It is God's idea. When you read the book, when you go through Scripture, it is God's idea. It's not man's idea. It's God's idea. And then he said the second part of that is dispelling the satanic lie of poverty, debt, and lack in the body of Christ. And he gave me many of the reasons why we have such a fight from our enemy in keeping the wealth from us, because he knows a true Christian, a true man, a woman of God, will not only give God credit and God glory, but many people who are in need, the storms, the fires that we have out west, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the poverty around the world, the people who don't have decent living places and decent water to drink. We will provide for those people, and not on my account. I will always tell them, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob brought this to you. But if I can't afford to do it, then God is missing glory in the earth. God always works to man through man. So God blesses us with abundance so we can bless, show God's mercy, grace, love, and kindness to all the earth. God's not walking around on earth anymore. We are. So God works through us to other people. But if we're deceived about what we're supposed to have and what we're supposed to live in, then God is hampered.
And this came about, this really was God-inspired, wasn't it? Where he's asking the question, he's guiding you to the title of the book, which is basically, it's God's idea. This is a word-based study. This is not Pastor Thomas and a hunch. This is a word-based study. So well-written, the book is Prosperity, Wealth, and Abundance. It's God's idea. Dispelling the Satanic Lie of Poverty, Debt, and Lack in the Body of Christ. The book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Google, all of those places. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And the second half of your book, Dispelling the Satanic Lie. Why is it, Pastor, that that Satan doesn't want the body of Christ wealthy? It seems like he's fighting us. Poverty for all of us would be welcome to him.
Yes, it is. Because when you look at Scripture, it was God who made Abraham rich, God who made Isaac rich, God who made Jacob rich, God who made not only Israel the person, but Israel of the nation rich, God who made Solomon rich, God who made Job rich. So Satan's MO is always to take what God has already established and pervert it, turn it around. That's why it's prosperity, wealth, and abundance is God's idea, but Satan's idea is poverty, debt, and lack. So if I can take away what God's idea is and feed you my idea, then we're not walking in what God has created us to walk in.
What are the two covenants of wealth in the Bible? Let's get to the Bible because this is an important part of your message. Again, this is not just something you're saying. This is something that you've researched. This is very important. What are the two covenants of wealth in the Bible?
Absolutely. It's two covenants. In Deuteronomy 8 and 18, the covenant God made with Abraham. Many things he made with Abraham, but one of the main things he made with Abraham is to make him rich. The covenant in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might get rich. Just like Jesus Christ took our sins, our sicknesses, and our diseases to the cross, he took poverty to the cross too. People don't understand that.
It's explained in Pastor Earl's book, Prosperity, Wealth, and Abundance. It's God's idea, dispelling the satanic lie of poverty, debt, and lack in the body of Christ. The book is available wherever books are sold. We'll have a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, that will take you directly to the Amazon page, and you can get information there, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual bookstores and online stores. This is a term you mentioned before. This is what caught your attention as you were back driving when this whole idea came to you. Prosperity preacher. What's meant by prosperity preacher? The prosperity gospel, the health and wellness gospel. We hear that a lot. What's meant by those terms?
The terminology prosperity preacher, the health and wellness gospel, or the prosperity gospel is not in Scripture, but the concept is. Too many people fight, but that's not in Scripture, the prosperity gospel. Well, the Trinity is not in Scripture, but people believe that. Hello.
Yeah, okay. Good point.
The concept is there. You can go from Genesis to Revelation. When God's people were reverent, obedient, and followed his laws and commands, you cannot find one Scripture in the Bible that says God wants them poor or God wants them wealthy. Matter of fact, I have a whole chapter in the Scripture where it talks about those who were obedient before God were phenomenally wealthy because of their obedience to God, their homage to God. Job 1 and 1 talks about Job's obedience, his integrity with God. And then it talks about, in the third verse, 1 and 3, how he was the wealthiest man in the East. So our obedience to God brings wealth.
Why is it so important to understand Kenneth Hagin's statement and what some denominations teach about a vow of poverty?
Well, now read out of the book one of the statements that Hagin made. This is a statement by one of the fathers of faith. He says, "We were taught that if you're humble, you're poor, and it's a characteristic of holiness to live on barely get along street, way down at the end of the block next to Grumble Alley. We were taught, hear that, we were taught if you are a Christian, you ought to go through life, especially if you're a preacher, without anything, with the soles of your shoes worn out, the seat of your pants worn out, the top of your hat worn out, and drive an old car with the fenders flopping. This is being humble and holy. This is honoring God." Again, that's by Kenneth Hagin. This is something, not Kenneth Hagin himself taught, but something that he was taught as a young minister. I was reading one of his books, How God Taught Me About Prosperity. This is the second part of the whole book. I wrote the first part by the Holy Spirit, giving me what to work, what to write, and what to look up. And I happened to come across Kenneth Hagin's book, How God Taught Me About Prosperity. When I read this, his statement, we were taught this in the church. We were taught being poor is humbling and pleasing God. How many of you parents out there want your children poor and in destitute with your shoes run over, your pants run over, and drive an old car with the fender flopping? This was taught in the church. Some denominations even teach a vow of poverty. Excuse me, I've been studying the scripture more than 40 years. 40 years. I've been in ministry for more than 40 years. I've been writing this book for 7 years. I still haven't found it yet. But somebody please tell me where it's at. I've found plenty of the opposite.
Yes.
So we in the church have been taught, we've allowed Satan to come in the church in his three-piece suit, his Bible up under his arm, and teach us a fake gospel that we're supposed to be living in poverty, dead in life. It's why? Because that's what he wants. He wants us poverty. He wants us sick. He wants us oppressed. He wants us different. But God says, if you, being earthly fathers, know how to give good things to your children, how much I'm God? Are you kidding?
Yes, this is such a fascinating book, and that's why you can, if you're just now familiar with it, why you can understand why this book is doing so well and receiving rave reviews. Prosperity, Wealth, and Abundance. It's God's Idea, Dispelling the Satanic Lie of Poverty, Debt, and Lack in the Body of Christ by Earle Thomas Jr. Boy, time is going by so quickly. So many important topics to talk about, and let's follow through on that. What revelation can people get by seeing you wealthy?
Well, let's go to the Bible. I like to go to the Bible. When Joseph was in Potiphar's house, the Bible says Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, wait a minute. Potiphar, a heathen captain of the Egyptian army, saw the Lord. Why? How? Through Joseph. And he not only saw the Lord was with Joseph, but he saw that God, it was God, not Joseph, but it was God that prospered everything he did in his hand. Therefore, Potiphar, being a wise man, put all that he had in Joseph's hand. When people in the world see us and know it's about not about my intellect, my talent, my skill, my wisdom, my knowledge, but it is God that gave me the things that I do. They will put everything they have in your hand. Not only that, they will come and want to serve the God that you serve. But again, Satan wants us to keep us away. There are several scriptures that say it like that. The scripture says that when the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, she saw that it was God who blessed him.
Oh, yes, powerful. What type of life did the patriarchs in the Old Testament live in financially? What was it like for them?
As I begin to study that, again, it's like an atomic bomb went off in my head. God told David, King David, that he wanted a temple built, but he could not build it because he had too much blood on his hands. His son Solomon would build it. So David said, since I can't build the temple, I'll prepare for the temple, give offerings and gifts for the temple. David, out of his private stash, his private bank account, not the kingdom because he was a king, out of his private bank account, gave a minimum of $5 billion. That's with a B, $5 billion. So that means, number one, if he gave away $5 billion, how much did he have?
Yes.
Number two, I added that up, and I don't know the 2023 cost that would be, but I added up the amount of gold that he gave, the amount of silver that he gave, and then I think it was the amount of brass that he gave, and I added it up to today's prices, and it was over $5 billion. So what would that be, because that was over 3,500, 4,000 years ago, what would that $5 billion be today? He gave it. I mean, just think, if God needed something done in the body of Christ, and instead of us having chicken sales and rib sales and car washes and rummage sales and all, God says, okay, God, you want this done? Okay, I got $5 billion in the bank. And then when he told his leaders the assignment that God gave for his son, his leaders gave another $8 billion. So that means not only David was wealthy, his leaders, his tribal leaders, his leaders to his military, they were wealthy also.
I mentioned a word-based study. That's what you're hearing. That's what you'll read about in the book by Pastor Chalmers, Prosperity, Wealth, and Abundance. It's God's Idea, Dispelling the Satanic Lie of Poverty, Debt, and Lack in the Body of Christ. What's meant in the statement you have in the introduction, put word on it? Very simple words. What does that mean?
Again, after being in church for 40 years, I've heard so much stuff that was not word-based. I live by the word of God, not by people's opinions, not by people's suggestions, not by people's ideas. What does the word of God say about it? So as I begin to study this and think about all the sermons that I heard, that money was evil and we're not supposed to be rich and it'll lead you into there, people taking the whole thing out of scripture concept, I begin to say, or the Holy Spirit begin to say to me, we have to live by the word of God. If you have a concept, if you have an idea and you can't find it in scripture, then that's your personal opinion. So, but I live by the word of God and not by other people's opinions. Like I say, the radio show was calling in several times talking about, well, I don't believe they should have this. I don't believe they should have that. Well, you know, Satan got in trouble because I.
Four words, so important in the introduction to Pastor's book, put word on it. Why is having wealth God provided for us so important?
It's important because we can be established to do whatever God wants us to do in the kingdom. Two significant stories in the Bible. When Moses built the temple, the Bible says that the people had such abundance and he gave so much. The people gave so much when Moses told about the building of the temple that God wanted. The Bible said they had to be restrained from giving. And let me give you a scenario. Pastor says, we want to put this $2 million addition on to the church because, you know, the sanctuary is full and we need resources for the youth or whatever, and we need $1 million. So the deacons begin to take up the offering. And they get and they're counting while they're taking up the offering. They get halfway through the congregation, and as they count, they stop and say, wait a minute, Pastor, we got more than enough. Why? Because the people were phenomenally wealthy. And not only that, the people's heart was so into what God did. The Bible said they had to be, you know what restraint is what the police do to you. Oh, yes. When they're about to arrest you, the people had to be held back. Why? Because God was so good to them and gave them such abundance, they just wanted to give and give and give back to God, and they had it to give. The second one was when Solomon. I counted, I got a chapter in the book, $30 billion temple. And I added up what David gave and what the leaders gave, and it was over $30 billion, B with a B, of money for the temple that God wants. So anytime God needs us to do anything, we don't have to have a, like I said, chicken and rib dinner, a yard sale, a car wash. For God to have what he wants on earth. We are his source on earth. And he blesses us to be a blessing, not only to him, but to other people, to build things that he needs us to build. Imagine if we had wealthy Christians all over the earth, where would so much of the evil be in the earth? Where would so much of the lack be in the earth? You know, we can go to these foreign countries, to Africa, to India, to Haiti, and give them food and water, supply them with schools, supply them with industries so they can work for themselves so they won't be in poverty. We would literally change the culture of the earth if we understand this concept.
A couple minutes left in the program. I don't know where the time has gone, but it's gone by quickly. Explain why wealthy preachers often take a bad rap for their wealth. You experienced it as you were listening to the call-in radio show. Why is it that they often take a bad rap for having resources?
Number one, it's because we've had too many scam preachers out there. Give me $1.50 and I'll give you a free gift from God. The concept is true in the Bible. You know, when I read about Elijah, when he went to the poor women, widow women, she was a widow. Her husband was dead, obviously. She had one child. But God told the Elijah, said, feed me first. She had a little bit of meal during the famine and a little bit of oil. Elijah asked for water. She started to go get the water for Elijah. And he says, bring me a little cake first, also with the water. And she said, well, I just have a handful of meal. Most women's hands are smaller than women. And a little oil to cook it in. And after that, because of the famine, me and my son gonna eat it and die. The man of God said, feed me first. Why did he say feed me first? Because the concept of when you take care of the man of God, God will take care of you. That's a true concept in scripture. But we have to understand the devil comes along and prefer and discredit God's word. So therefore, we have so many preachers out there who are conning people and get away. The concept of taking care of God's man is always first in the Bible. And when you really study Malachi 3, you bring in the tithes according to the law. When you bring in the tithes were supposed to be for the priest.
I'm going to squeeze a couple more questions in because this is so important, and Pastor has covered a lot of ground during our conversation today. Why do you say it's a lie from Satan for believers to live in poverty?
Because it was God who made Abraham rich. It was God who made Isaac rich. Who was God who made Jacob rich. Again, Job, King Asa, King Hezekiah, Solomon. And again, when you study the history of Israel, when they were obedient to God, when they kept God's laws, when they reverenced God and was obedient to God, the whole nation was rich. Again, if we don't understand the concept of the enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. And how does he do it? One of the main ways he do it, which, like I said, I've been in church 50 years, and I rarely heard it taught, that he comes along to pervert God's word. He comes to twist and turn, the same thing he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He comes to pervert. He comes to make you think that left is right, up is down, blue is orange, wet is dry. So he perverts the word of God. That's why we have to put word on. That's why we have to consistently study the word of God, not just read the word of God, but study the word of God and invite the Holy Spirit in consistently to give us the true revelation of the word of God.
The book is Prosperity, Wealth, and Abundance. It's God's Idea, Dispelling the Satanic Lie of Poverty, Debt, and Lack in the Body of Christ by Earl E. Thomas, Jr., our guest on the program. The longest chapter in your book is The Revelations of Prosperity, Wealth, and Abundance. Why do people need to have a revelation of the wealth God wants us or wants to give them?
Because obviously we don't have it, and we're not walking in it as a whole in the body of Christ. Let me quote one of the revelations I have. Many people talk about on the radio show, and I hear many conversations talking about wealthy preachers, wealthy pastors. One of the revelations God gave me was the wisest man in the world was the richest man in the world. He was a preacher, and it was God who made him wealthy. So we're talking about Solomon. When you read Ecclesiastes 1:1, it was the first time in Scripture that the word preacher or the title preacher was mentioned. Solomon was a preacher, but he was the wealthiest man in history. So why do we talk about wealthy preachers when God got the wealthiest man in history, who was a preacher?
So much wisdom in this book by Early Thomas Jr. Just wrapping it up here, Pastor, what is the main information you want people to get from your book? Sort of summarize what you hope people take away, what the message is after they've read your book.
The message is, again, it's God's idea, not my idea. If you buy the book or read the book or do self-study on your own, it was God's idea. It was God's idea to pick Abraham out and bless him. To be a blessing. It was God's idea to bless many of the patriarchs in the Bible. When you read the scripture, I think I got I'm a part two also. I have more than 20 scriptures where the Bible actually says it was God who makes them wealthy. God who gives them wealth and abundance. So what we have to do is, like my second part is, dispelling the satanic lie of poverty, debt, and lack in the body of Christ, we have to dispel all this satanic teaching, vow of poverty, and if we're honoring God by being poor. Again, if you have any children, do your children, are you honored because your children is living in poverty, debt, and lack, and don't have enough? If we're mere human beings, I really don't understand that concept of being in God.
It's a wonderful example. The book is Prosperity, Wealth, and Abundance. It's God's Idea, Dispelling the Satanic Lie of Poverty, Debt, and Lack in the Body of Christ by Early Thomas Jr. Did I hear you say at the end you've got another book you're working on?
Yes, God gave me so much. So much.
There needs to be a sequel.
Oh my God.
Well, hopefully
it has to be one, maybe two sequels to this, because it's so much. We have been taught wrong scriptures.
Yes.
Well, they're not scriptures. Wrong philosophy for hundreds of years that is going to take not only me, but other people teaching, understanding, putting word on it. What did the Bible say? Again, there's an Old Testament covenant of wealth, and there's a New Covenant Testament of wealth. So how do we have covenants in both parts of the scriptures? And you're teaching poverty, debt, and lack. God dropped in my spirit a couple of weeks ago. He said one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Another, I think, New Living Translation says, I have no need of anything, or I have no lack. So if God is our shepherd and we shall not want, why are we teaching poverty, debt, and lack?
Comes back to put
that
word.
That makes sense.
Put word on it. I love that. That sums up so many problems that we have and things that intellectually we try to sort out. Put word on it is what Pastor Early Thomas Jr. is saying. Hopefully we can talk about the sequels. We just touched the surface of the book is doing so well. And again, you can understand why. It's all word-based. It's Prosperity, Wealth, and Abundance. It's God's Idea, Dispelling the Satanic Lie of Poverty, Debt, and Lack in the Body of Christ. Earl E. Thomas Jr. Pastor, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for being with us, an enlightening conversation. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
It has been our pleasure, and the book available wherever books are sold, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, KingPagesPress.com. The author's marketing consultant, we thank them for arranging our conversation today. And, of course, all of this information you'll find on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.